Well, good morning, Briarcliff. Merry Christmas to you. Good to see every one of you. I'm sure that many of you have heard of Isaac Watts. And when Isaac Watts was just a small boy, in fact, he began to write poems when he's 7 years old and wrote his first hymn when he's 11 years old. And he told his dad, he said, I really don't like the hymns we sing at church. And his dad said, well, they've been good enough for me, and they've been good enough for my parents, and they'll be good enough for you. And he said, no, they're not good enough for me. Well, that turned into a big argument. And finally, his dad said, well, if you think you can do any better, just go do something. Write one. And he said, Dad, I already have. And he said, well, what is it? And so he brought him a hymn that he'd written. And lo and behold, his dad looked at that and he thought, this is good. So he gave it to the music director at the church, and they actually sang it the next Sunday in the church. And the church liked it so well, they asked him to write another one. And for every Sunday thereafter, for 222 consecutive Sundays, he wrote a new song. And today we have many of those songs, and you'll know many of those, like When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, At the Cross. One that I like so very well, we have already sung, Joy to the World. That's one of my favorite songs around Christmas time, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Well, he got pretty famous in his writing, and Elizabeth, a girl by the name of Elizabeth, was so caught up, she became a fan. And she began to write him fan letters and actually proposed marriage to him. And he accepted. And then she was so excited about finally going and meeting Isaac Watts. And when she did, she was so disappointed because he was only 5 feet tall. And she said he had small eyes and gray skin and a crooked nose. And she ditched him. And Isaac Watts never did marry. But it's interesting, they wrote a song, Joy to the World. Now, what's your circumstance this morning? You know, there things may have really, and all of us have circumstances that come up that are not really what we call joyful. And yet, there is a joy that God has given us. You know, Christmas, as we talk about it, is a time to be jolly, but it's also a time of stress. It's a time of overspending, overeating, and many times not overjoyed. But where is this joy? What is this joy? Because in the first line of this song, look at it, joy to the world, joy to the world. I'm going to work down through this hymn this morning, along with the announcement to the shepherds of this coming birth of Jesus Christ, because this hymn is based on this very story. Joy to the world, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory, remember the word glory, we'll come back to that, then the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you, and here's what I want you to see, I bring you great news, or good news, that's the word for gospel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I bring you good news of great joy. What is that? What is this great joy? Are you experiencing that great joy? What is he talking about? What is that, and where do you find this joy? First, I think we have to understand the word joy. It's very much different than the word happiness. I like what Tim Hensel says about the difference. Look at it. He said, joy defies circumstances. It can coexist with doubt, ambiguity, and pain. Is a contentedness beyond circumstances, an indestructible kind of confidence that says everything is all right, even when everything looks, feels, and tastes all wrong. I dare say that the greatest joy in your life and in mine comes in relationships. Would that not be true? The greatest joy in life comes in relationships. Andrew Murray wrote a little commentary on the John chapter 15 that talks about abiding in Christ. And Jesus said, abide in me. And then he goes on to say, abide in my love. And then he goes on to say, I've told you these things so that you might have my joy. I want you to have my joy. God wants us to have the joy of Jesus in our lives. And he's been trying to explain that to the disciples. It comes out of a relationship like a vine and the fruit on the vine and the branches and the fruit. And there is a relationship there that they draw from the vine. And he said, in that relationship is where you find joy. And so here's what he says about that. Look at it. He says, there is no joy like love. There's no joy like love. But there's no joy but love. His joy is nothing but the joy of love, of being loved and of loving. It is that relationship, he's saying. So joy to the world, the Lord has come. And the reason why he has come is that we might have that relationship, a personal relationship with him. It goes on to say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. He came to redeem us, but also to have a personal relationship. God wants more than anything else. He wants a personal, loving relationship with you, starting now, and lasts for all of eternity. It never ends. It just gets better. And it says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That is the reason why he has come. Verse 14, it says, I bring you good news. Good news here, as we mentioned, is that's the word for gospel. That is the gospel. The gospel of this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's accomplished for us when Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins so that sin would not separate us. And when Jesus died on the cross, you remember what happened in the temple. The veil fell between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. So it allowed for us, and you can read a lot about this in the New Testament book, Hebrews, of how we have the privilege of going in to the very presence of God. We have that privilege of a personal relationship to know him and to abide in him and find joy in that. And then he says here, it's good news of great joy that will be for all people. Now that was very significant because he was saying, it's not just for you Israelites. The people of Israel thought they were better than anybody else because they thought they were God's chosen people and all that. And he said, no, he has come to bring this joy to all people. And he's saying that to the shepherds and of all people, he said, I've always found it fascinating that the first ones to get the announcement of the birth of Jesus is shepherds. They were the outcast of earth. They couldn't even come into the temple area. They were thought to be unclean. And it is to those, I think God was wanting to announce it loud and clearly. I have come for though the lowliest of low. You have never done anything so bad in your life, but what Jesus Christ came for you. And he wants a loving relationship with you. And you say, you don't know what my life has been like. You don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done. But I know what Jesus has done. He loved you enough that he died for you. And he wants to come into your life and have a loving relationship with him, to be committed to him, to be loyal and faithful to everything and to obey him in all things in that relationship with him. And the question I have right now is, do you know that loving relationship that brings joy in your life with Jesus? I hope you have more than religion or church membership or church attendance. Anybody can do that. But he wants you to have a loving relationship. So how do you do that? The way I've illustrated for years is that the only way you can reach out and receive this loving relationship, you have to let go of a lot of stuff. There's some junk in your life right now that if you're to have this relationship with Jesus, you got to let go of some stuff. It's like, kind of like the flying trapeze that I used to watch when I was a kid and go to the circus. My heart would always race when I would see them. They'd leave one swing, and for a moment in midair, they would go and be caught by the person in that other swing that would take them over to the other side. And there's some hands called the hands of Jesus, always reaching out. But you can't allow those hands to grab hold of your life and hang on to that swing. So what are you hanging on? Are you hanging on to some things that would rob you of that joy? Disobeying in any way? Selfishness? Wanting to hang on to something and not let go? That many times is the very thief of this joy that God wants to give. He says, you got to be all in on this deal. You got to be all in. You can't just be halfway and understand the depth of this joy. So let's go back to the hymn. Isaac Watts said, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth do what? Receive. Receive. Could we bring up that hymn? The next part. The joy of the world, the Lord has come. Let earth, what? Receive her King. Receive. Becoming a follower of Christ. Understand this joy. Experiencing this personal relationship, it's to receive. I had a friend one time, he happened to be from India. And I'd visited with him enough and talked to him about a lot of different things. This over a course of a long time. And I talked to him about receiving Christ. And he was so ready. I was so impressed. He said, sure, I'll do that. And I thought, I'm not sure he understands what I'm talking about. I said, you understand to receive Christ, it means to let go of any form of religion. Oh, he said, I could not do that. My parents would disown me. I will add it on. More the better. I said, no, Master, this personal relationship with Jesus is not an add-on. It is a letting go of everything to receive. Now, let me ask you, are you trying to add Jesus on to a hurried life? Are you trying to add on Jesus to a religious life? Are you trying to add him? See, the innkeeper had things going so well that he could not have room for Jesus because things were going so well. And so as a result, he did not receive Jesus that night when Mary and Joseph came to the inn. Could that be true for some of you? Things are going so well now. And a lot of times when things are going so well, we tend to think, well, I'm not sure I need any more than just kind of addition of Christ. I'm not going to get too caught up in that. It always leads somewhere to a fork in the road, and It's not, as Yogi Berra says, when you come to the fork of the road, you take it. You got to make your decision day by day if you're going to follow him. For the innkeeper, things were going well, and his life was full of a lot of other stuff, so he could not receive. The religious people of that day could not receive him because they were so full of religion. Are you full of religion? Your religion is about keeping certain things and doing certain things that you think will please God, and you can work your way to God. Some people don't receive because the Apostle Paul says their eyes are blinded by the enemy, and they cannot see the joyous light of Jesus. Are some of you being deceived by Satan? Has he blinded you to the joy? Or maybe you're like Felix. You know, Felix was one that was very interested in what made these disciples have such great joy, even in prison and being persecuted. And so Felix called for Paul, comes and said, I want to talk to you about this. I don't quite understand this. How do you have this kind of joy? What is it about your life that's so different? And the Apostle Paul laid it out for him, clear as could be. And Felix said, maybe some other convenient time. Are you procrastinating, saying, you know, I'm really going to be serious about this and really follow Christ completely, but right now I've got a lot going? And you tend to crowd that out. There's all kinds of reasons why that we tend to crowd out this relationship with Jesus Christ. It may be things in your life that have hurt you. I find that many people reject this whole idea because they think, well, if there is a God, why would you allow this to happen in my life? That's kind of like where C.S. Lewis was. C.S. Lewis, when he was 9 years old, his mother died, and part of his dad died also, and his dad had a hard time dealing with that, and so he actually sent C.S. Lewis to boarding school. And going to boarding school, it was found out later that the headmaster was actually partly insane, and his life was terrible. And C.S. Lewis tried to pray, but it didn't seem like much happened. So he just ditched it all and became an atheist, a professor at Oxford University, but an atheist. There must not be a God because of all this has happened. And he could not accept a loving relationship. It seemed so distant. It seemed so contrary to what he saw God being like at that time. There was a man by the name of Tolkien that was also a professor at Oxford that wrote The Lord of the Rings. And then through that relationship, C.S. Lewis said, you would never heard of Narnia or any other of those books if it had not been for Tolkien's influence on my life. And he also said he was one of the most reluctant converts in all of England. Because he wasn't sure. He said, okay, God, I'm going to cross this line and trust you. But he still wasn't sure. But then he said there began to be a contentedness in his life. And he wrote a book about it. Do you know the name of the book? Surprised by Joy. Now he understood a joy that had been some way escaping him all this time until he'd come to the end of himself. And that's usually where it begins. Now let's go back to the hymn again. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. I like this part. Let every heart prepare him room. Now let me ask you, this is a daily process. Let every heart prepare him room. Have you prepared your heart today for him? Will you tomorrow prepare your heart again for him tomorrow? It's a daily process that I think, that's the reason why we just keep coming back to this over and over and over, is have a time alone with God when you first get up in the morning and prepare him room. You know what's going to happen if you don't. Every other thing on planet Earth will come in and want to fill your life. It's just the natural way in which we are wired, and it's the way that the world works. It works kind of like your lawn. Weeds are always there wanting to take over, and you have to prepare room for grass. It is just our nature. Our nature is that we're always working in this way. The selfishness of our own being will always crowd out our walk with Christ. I've come to the conclusion that one of the major, major factors and problems in marriages is selfishness. It's the reason why it's hard to prepare room for even your mate. Prepare room for your good friends. Prepare room for your small group. Prepare room for Jesus Christ in your life that day. Prepare room. You have to very intentionally prepare room for him. Or it will be filled with something else. So it says there, let every heart prepare him room. Are you doing that? Are you filling your life? Are you making that a priority every single day? Here's what I have found that probably is one of our major, if not the most major problem we have in Christianity in America. And I would put it in one word, marginalizing. We marginalize. We would not dare say that we don't want Christ in our life. We would never say that. No, we want Christ in our life, but we put him in the margin. And there's not joy in the margin. There's only joy in the very heart of your soul. That's where joy is found. But by nature, we will marginalize this walk with Christ. We don't want him not in our life. By all means, we want him in our life, but in the margin of our life. And there'll not be joy there. But when there is joy, this is the way that the angel in the announcement to the shepherds ends up this announcement. Look at it. He said, and heaven and earth, nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. He repeats that. And heaven and nature sings. He's just going over that. And heaven and nature sings. And heaven and nature sings. That's what he was saying when the angel came and he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. What's the purpose of life? I'm not sure that you'll ever find joy in the very core of your being without knowing the purpose of your life. You'll be chasing about so many other things. So many other things will fill that life other than this peace on earth that is inside of us. Westminster Catechism says the purpose of life, can you finish how that the chief end or the purpose, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What does that mean? The chief end of man is to glorify. Do you know how to glorify God? Do you know how to bring glory every single day in your life? Glorifying God. Let me give you a challenge. Why don't you in these next few weeks take a look and go through scriptures, try to find everything the scripture says about how to glorify God in your life and in our church. Timothy and I are going to launch a new series next year about prayer and discipleship. And in the prayer, we're going to begin to try to ask you to join us. We'll be having, we now have two different groups. We'll have four. 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, you come one Sunday morning a month. And for 4 months, if you come to that and you commit to be a part of that, and there's a certain commitment you have to make to be a part of that group, that for 4 months we're going to be looking at scriptures that reveal to us how to glorify God in our life and in our church. We'll spend 4 months on that. Because if that is the chief end, if that's the purpose of our life, I want to know what that is and how to do it. I don't want to miss. How does that work in my life? How do I practice it? How do I do that? There's one more thing of what it says in this last scripture. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let me ask you. Is God pleased with you? Yes or no? Don't beat around the bush. Well, maybe. Is God pleased with you? Why would he be pleased with you? Well, I've been doing all this stuff and all that. Wrong answer. Because you can't do enough. How is your life pleasing to God? It's impossible. It's only possible of what Jesus Christ has done for you to make you righteous in his sight and pleasing his sight. You can never accomplish it, but you can receive it. I have a life that pleases God when I trust and obey Jesus. There's a song, hymn, I love saying, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God told David, he said, I don't want all your sacrifices. You can't make enough sacrifices to please me. What I want is a broken and contrite heart, a yieldingness to me, a trust in me, an obedience to me. And that will be a fragrant aroma to me. Now let me ask you again. Is God pleased with you? Not on what you're doing or ever will do. It's only who you are in your trust and obeying him. Now, what's your joy level right now? I'd like to have a thermometer. There's a joy thermometer, and I'd stick it under your tongue. And it would tell me, you know, here's how joyful they are. And then I maybe come to some of them and you say, hey, man, they're dead. It didn't rise in at all. No joy there at all. You know? Where are you on that? I'm not talking about your circumstances. They may be terrible. What about your joy level? Unspeakable joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. It isn't a relationship. Do you have that relationship? Do you know that relationship? Are you going to make room for him every single day so that you can enjoy? Why don't you just get up in the morning and say, God, I've come here this morning because I want to enjoy you throughout all this day. And I want to start it outright to enjoy you. And let that carry you day in and day out. Let me pray with you. Father, there's some people here this morning that their life is filled with such sorrow, such circumstances that you may seem so distant to them. Circumstances that they wonder, where is God anyway? Circumstances that they've been hurt. And they may have been hurt by some Christian. And I'm praying that this morning, because our circumstances in this world is never perfect, that somewhere the radiance of joy in a relationship with you would be sufficient to carry us through the darkest of times. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth, let me, let us receive her King. Let glory radiate from our lives. Let us learn more about how to glorify you. That our church learn more about how to glorify you and enjoy you to the fullest every single day. In Christ's name, amen.